Romans chapter 8, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together, and I pray that you'd just bless your word and help us to understand things maybe we didn't think about before. Work in the hearts and lives of those who don't know you. Work in the hearts and lives of those who do, and help us, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I would hate to have to call, what is his name? Caden out if he's messing around, but of course he's not yet. I'm just preparing him for that. He's in my Bible class, so I know, all right? All right, verse chapter 1, chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. We're in Romans chapter 8. Robert, it's in the New Testament. Just somebody help him if he can't find it. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. I've already read that. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. All right, so those are the verses of Scripture that I was asked to cover this morning. So as we finish reading now, I want to go ahead with my slides. My question is, what does it mean to be condemned? Someone raise your hand and tell me what it means to be. Some of you who are very intelligent, there are several different versions of this, okay? Sam, you're first. Excuse me? Cast out, condemned, cast out, okay. Caden?
Like a penalty.
Like a penalty, okay. Donovan?
Exile.
Exile, all right. Tyler?
Judgment.
All right, very good. All of you, thank you very much. Now let's go to my pictures here. Webster's Dictionary says, condemned means to be declared to be reprehensible, wrong, or evil. This could be a person or an act that's done. Now, would you not agree that Hitler was a reprehensible individual? He was evil. Killed millions and millions of people just because they weren't like him, and so he did that. Now, what about this act? Most of you have been reminded of this. Now just listen to me. You don't have to talk. 9/11, 2001, the two planes flown into the World Trade Centers, and this was the destruction. Thousands and thousands of lives lost. What about this one? Please be quiet and listen. The Oklahoma City bombing. How many have ever heard of it? The Oklahoma City bombing was a domestic terrorist bombing on the federal building in downtown Oklahoma City On April 19th, 1995, none of you students were even alive then, okay? So you wouldn't know about it unless you read it in the history books. It was perpetrated by Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. The bombing killed 168 people, injured more than 680 others, and destroyed one-third of the building. The blast destroyed or damaged 324 other buildings within a 16-block radius, shattering glass and all these things went on. $652 million worth of damage. This is a federal bill. Now, if you look, wrong button. If you look right down in here, this area right in here, that was a nursery for employees whose children were employed in the federal building, and they died. Children. So they set off this bomb. They rented a truck, packed it full of explosives, and set off the bomb because they were dissatisfied with the federal government and the way it handled a few different incidents in our nation's history. Pretty reprehensible, don't you think? To kill people who were really not part of what they were upset about, and children who obviously couldn't be responsible for it. Evil, okay? So the first definition was reprehensible, wrong, or evil. Condemned as that. The second definition is judged unfit for use or consumption. Now, I think this building was probably in Detroit. I did that for Mr. Smith's benefit, but it's condemned. You can't live in it, right? How about going to Cookout and pulling this open? And you wouldn't eat this because it's not fit for consumption, okay? So condemned means it's evil, or it's not fit for consumption, or the third definition is it's pronounced guilty, convicted, sentenced, or doomed. Doomed. There used to be a video game called Doom. I don't know if you've ever played it, but I used to do that. Anyway, doomed. Now this guy, unless Iron Man flies in and shoots these guys, this guy's condemned to death. All right? And then these guys from Game of Thrones or whatever, I don't know what it was. Anyway, they're condemned to death. They are doomed to die unless something happens. So if you're condemned, you have no hope unless hope comes in some form or another. Now, I want to know what you believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? This is a advertisement for a new movie that's along the same lines as those other Christian movies that one guy plays in. Fireproof? Yes, fireproof movies, those kind of things. Do you believe that there's a... These are rhetorical questions. That means don't talk, just think. Do you believe there is a sovereign God? Do you believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God, that it's all truth, there's nothing... No errors in it, inerrant, no errors in the Word of God. Do you believe that God sent His only Son, Jesus, to be the payment for the sins of the whole world? We're going through the gospel, just in case you didn't get it. Do you believe that Jesus suffered, died, and resurrected Himself 3 days later? And do you believe that if you trust Him, you'll enjoy heaven for eternity? If you trust Him. If you pay attention, listen, and if you'll trust Him, do you believe that you'll enjoy heaven for eternity? Simple questions, thoughtful things for you to be looking at here, all right? Do you believe these things? Are these part of your faith? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death," and that word death means eternal separation from God in hell forever. You can't even understand what forever means. You can't understand what it means to never have something end. This chapel will end. This school day will end. This school year will end. High school will end someday, whether you graduate or get kicked out or whatever, dropped out. College will end. You'll get married and have children someday. I mean, everything in our existence has an end to it, but not eternity. The wages are what we deserve because of our sin, because of our sin nature that's within us, is that eternal separation from God. But The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord if we believe in Him. Now, Romans 8:1, the very first verse says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Remember we talked about being condemned, doomed, there's no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. But with Christ, there's hope. There's no condemnation. You're not condemned. You're not condemned to hell. You're not condemned to suffer forever. Because Christ made payment for all of us. No matter where you're from, no matter what your life experience is, no matter what your history is. I believe somebody's calling me during chapel. Anyway. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And there's no condemnation if you believe in Him. No condemnation. If is a conditional word. If is a conditional word. Right? If you do this, this will happen. If you sit up straight and have your Bible open and look this way, Miss Rams won't be staring at you and call you out. If you don't slurp your food, people will think you've got manners. If you, whatever. If you do a good job at work, they'll keep you and you'll get paid. If you don't do a good job at work, they probably won't keep you and then you'll lose that income. It's a conditional statement. Something has to be true on one side for the other side to happen. So we go back to Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those. So let's go ahead to the first if. And look at verse number 9. If, I shouldn't have played one Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We're talking all about the gospel message today. That's what this is about. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. If it dwells in you, then you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And how does the Spirit of God dwell in you? You believe the gospel message, and you have faith, and you trust God, and you trust Christ for what He did, and you let that pattern your life, govern your life. You are not condemned if, verse number 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now that life is eternal life. It's not something that you're looking at right now, because right now you're wondering about, you know, what you're going to do in that class next hour, how about lunch, how about that ball game tonight. Some of you are going to perform at Barnes & Noble this afternoon. I mean, are you eating in here, Robert? Ooh, shh. Apple. All right. If Christ is in you, you are not condemned. And we move on to verse number 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Mortal means it's going to die. Immortal means it's not. Your mortal body, God will give you life. He will give you eternal life if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And then we go to verse number 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live by the Spirit, you will live eternally in heaven, free of the things that we deal with here in our world every day. The things we deal with every day. Now, as a believer in Christ, life is not perfect. Any of you who have parents who are believers, and you are a believer, you know that your life is not perfect. We still struggle with things every day that anybody who doesn't know Christ struggles with. But our hope is beyond this life. Our hope is for eternity. And we're going to move on to the cross. Believing the gospel is our only hope. Now, my mom is a believer. wonderful gal, just amazing lady. She's 87 years old. She took us, all of us kids, there were five of us, she took us to church every Sunday, whether we wanted to go or not. She modeled for us Jesus Christ all the time. My dad, who has passed away now, was not a believer, and he didn't go to church with us, and he didn't care about what we were doing as long as, you know, it didn't interfere with what was going on in his life. I have three brothers. Well, actually, I have two brothers now. One died, and I have a sister. I graduated from high school having gone to church every Sunday with my mom because she made me go. And then in the summer of my senior year, I got a job, and I purposely asked if I could work Sundays so I wouldn't have to go to church with my mother because I was an unsaved young man. I mean, I went to church, I read my Bible, I participated in things, and I was not saved. I went to my mom sent me to vacation Bible school once when I was younger, and the guy preached, and I probably was about 10 years old, and when it was over, he started calling people to come forward, and all my little buddies went forward, so I went forward, and we all bowed our heads, and he said something, and then he said, "You're all saved." And so, hey, I was good to go at that point, 10 years old. Got baptized because I was saved, which I wasn't because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So I get out of high school, and I ask for a Sunday job so that I, not unbeknownst to my mother, so I wouldn't have to go to church, and I could just kind of slowly slide away from that. Well, I've always enjoyed playing sports. Not that I was really any good at it, but I always enjoyed playing. And our church had a sports league. They had a basketball league. They had a flag football league. They had a softball league. And I thought, you know what? I'm doing nothing else except going to college right now. I'd love to play, you know, on your flag football team in the winter, and then basketball team flag football in the fall, and basketball in the winter, and softball in the spring. And so my buddy that I used to hang around with a lot said, "You know what? Why don't you come out and play? But you've got to go to church." I thought, well, you know, I just got over that. But I really like to play sports. So I thought, well, I'll go to church. I'll go to church so I can play sports. And I went to church so that I could play sports for the church team. And I was unsaved. And on weekends, I was still hanging out with my buddies doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. Would have broken my mom's heart if she knew about it. But I was going to church so that I could play sports. And finally, God's Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and helped me to realize that my sham that I was living was only going to send me to hell. And I realized that. And all on my own, on a Wednesday night, I went forward in a service, and I didn't say any words. I just trusted Christ. And the funny thing was, I was carpooling with three of my high school buddies, my buddies we were doing things with. And so after I got saved, I started witnessing to them. And all of a sudden, I was driving back and forth to college all by myself. They started dropping out from our little carpool, making excuses why they didn't want to travel with me, because they didn't want to hear the gospel message that I was trying to impart to them. And God can change anyone's life if you'll just surrender, if you'll just realize that more important than you and who you think you are and where you think you're headed and what your goals in our life is the fact that eternity is more important than that. And Jesus Christ died for you that you might have eternal life. So, my last slide here is, what do you believe? What do you really believe? What motivates you in life right now? And, you know, that's kind of a hard thing, especially for junior high, because they really aren't that intelligent. But anyway, what motivates you in life right now? What are you living for? My Sunday school class is studying the book of Esther, aren't we? And we, Ms. Rivera, aren't we? Yeah, we're there. Ms. Wagner, yeah, good. They're in my class. They don't want to admit it, but they're in my class. And we talked about God's plan for your life. What's God's plan for your life? If you're a believer right now, do you know what God's plan for is your life? What's God's plan for your life? You probably won't realize it till your life ends or it's almost over. what God's plan is for your life. Love God, keep His commandments, and then love those around you. It's real simple, right, seventh grade boys? Simple directions take simple obedience. We talk about that all the time because they have to be reminded all the time. Anyway, what's God's plan for your life? It's to love Him, trust Him, let Him direct your life, and then love those around you. Lord, I want to thank You for these young men and young ladies, and Lord, for the opportunity that You've given me to look in Your Word and to share it with them today. And I pray, Lord, that as we go about our day, lunch, classes, ball games, Barnes & Noble, go home, watch Monday Night Football, whatever it is we're going to do, go to bed, get up and have another day of school and another day of life, I pray that You'd help us to reflect upon how good You are. Lord, those who don't know Christ as their Savior, those who are not trusting in Him, the Bible says you're condemned already. But there's no condemnation. We are not doomed. We're not sentenced. We're not convicted if we are trusting Christ as our Savior. And I pray, Lord, for those here who don't know You, that Your Holy Spirit could break through the barriers that they're putting up and reveal to them their need of Christ. And those of us, Lord, who are trusting You right now, would be a better example to those who don't know You, a better example to each other, an encouragement to each other to live for You. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for our academy, for Mr. Woosley, for Mr. Farmer, for our staff. Lord, for each parent that has been willing to send each young man and young lady here to our school. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the blessings of life, and to trust You, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.